We find ourselves in the fourth Sunday of Easter. And we want to really keep that in mind, that we're still supposed to be within the midst of this Easter celebration. That the Easter event, that paschal joy, is supposed to remain in our hearts, to continue to live in our souls, and to continue to bring joy to our lives. But it's so easy for us as we enter into May and now almost June to just continue moving forward and to leave Easter back in spring. But we need to stop and remember, we're still in Easter. And we want to see that Easter needs to continue to still have an effect on us. For Christ Jesus is still risen from the dead. The transcendent intervention of the Creator into our human history, the taking of our human flesh in the incarnation, but also through the resurrection, the incorporation of that human flesh, our human nature, into the very substance of the Trinity. It's still going on. St. Paul insists that the resurrection is the manifestation of God's power and the working of the Holy Spirit, which continues to give life. Not only gave life to Christ's body as it lay in the tomb, but continues to give life to all who believe. But many today can ask, well, how do we know that all of this is true? How can we know that Christianity is true? How can we know that this is what we should believe and that's not all just wishful thinking? Jesus himself had promised, I am the resurrection and the life. You who believe in me, even though you die, shall live. And I think in those words of Jesus, we have something that's very positively going to happen to each and every one of us. We're going to die. There is that door that separates this life from whatever lies beyond, that door of death. And Jesus has walked through that door. He has gone before, as the collect said, the opening prayer said, he has gone before so that the sheep may follow. And so if we acknowledge that, yes, there is one who has died, Jesus Christ, and that we are going to die as he has, then we can pause and ask ourselves, is there any reason to believe that he has come back to life? And if so, must then we believe that he is true? Certainly this would be the words, this would be the pathway that the church offers to us. See throughout all of the resurrection appearances, Jesus coming back and saying to his, in greeting his apostles, peace be with you. That he who has died and is reunited with the holy, and he who has reunited his body and his soul brought back together, knows a peace that this world cannot give us. And he seeks to invite us to come to know that peace. Peace be with you. Today in the gospel he says, others come to steal and slaughter and to destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's the peace that he wants to give us. And he says, I am the gate. Whoever wants to enter into that abundant life needs to pass through me. And so we need to know, as we go through our lives, who is Jesus, and who are the thieves and the robbers who seek to steal, slaughter, and destroy? We remember again the promise that Jesus said, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against it. Christ, as St. Peter tells us in his letter, is the living stone upon whom all the other stones must be built up, the chief of which, though, would be Peter, that first pope. And because of our faith then in Jesus, who has appointed Peter to be the shepherd of the sheep, we can listen to the voice of Peter. In fact, it was the early church, they had a saying. It would be, Ubi Petrus, ibi Ecclesia. Where Peter is, there is the church. That Jesus entrusted a special authority to Peter. He says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The power of the keys designates the authority given to govern the house of God, which is the church. And Jesus, our good shepherd, confirms this mandate after his resurrection. In John's gospel, we hear how Jesus interacts with Peter, telling him, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, be the shepherd of my flock as I am ascending to the Father. And so we want, as we decide to follow Christ, as we believe that he is true and that he has gone before where we need to follow, to entrust ourselves as sheep to the shepherd, to the guardian on this earth, the Holy Father, the Pope. Jesus has entrusted the authority to the church through the ministry of Peter, to whom he has entrusted the keys of the kingdom, to watch over us, to guide us, to lead us, to be our shepherd. Many of you were at this Mass, but several weeks ago, we had Deacon Clark, who gave a wonderful explanation of what it means to be a shepherd. And one of the things that he opened up his line with, he described how you could have two ways to lead a group of animals. Either by carrying that happy little carrot or whatever, the sweet alfalfa, I think was the word he used, and lead them up, or to get the cattle prod and poke them from behind. Perhaps our experience of the church can be some of both of that. But either way, we want to see that it is good that we have a church who leads us. It is good that Jesus has given us shepherds to guard and watch over us. But as Jesus says today in the gospel, sheep will not follow a stranger. They need to know their shepherd's voice. And so the choice is ours to make. If we are to be preserved from the powers of death, from the curse of those who pass through the gate of Hades, then we must live in the church and come to recognize the voice of God speaking through the church. It is there that we know that we will be able to walk safely. It is there that we know that the jaws of death will not prevail against us. We must surrender the governance of our lives to the shepherd, to the church, as Christ himself has instructed us. It can be a joyful blessing to give our lives over to God. We see that in the lives of so many saints. But it can also be somewhat scary. And so we need to hear the words of Christ constantly going throughout all of Scripture. Peace be with you. And the beautiful words at the end of today's gospel. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Let us entrust our lives to that good shepherd. Let us entrust our lives to following the sheep whom he has, following the shepherds that he has entrusted, that he has given to us to guide us and to guard us. And let us ask on this Good Shepherd Sunday for the grace for our hearts to be opened, to be more open to the voice of the shepherd, as he speaks through the sacred scripture, and as he speaks through the church. Today we also, nationally, has nothing to do with the church's tradition, have the national celebration of Mother's Day. And certainly it's so easy for us to think of our Blessed Mother Mary as an example for all of us, whether we have a good and holy mother or whether our mother was a little bit less than like the Blessed Mother. But certainly we want, during this month of May, as we think about Mary, but also on this very day as we think about our mothers, to thank Almighty God for the gift of motherhood. As you know, every Tuesday we announce the topics of what the teens are going to be discussing. We were discussing authentic womanhood this past Tuesday, and the groups were having good discussions, but I sat with one for a while, and they came to a beautiful conclusion that I was so glad. They said, really, the authentic femininity To be a real woman is to be a mother. And it doesn't matter whether you have biological children or not. Just by being a woman, you can have that motherhood, that motherly characteristic. Maybe in the church we would speak of it as a spiritual motherhood, and we would see that present in all of those sisters who would teach, in all those sisters who would care for the sick. In the lives of some of these teens, they were speaking also about those adoptive mothers. But certainly today, all women should rejoice as we celebrate Mother's Day. Because what we're truly doing is honoring that part of every woman which is called to be a mother, which is called to make space in her life for the life of another. For truly that's the essence of what motherhood is. And we see it so beautiful in the life of the Blessed Mary, who makes space in her life to be the mother of Christ. But even more so, makes space in her life to be the mother of all of us, as she stood at the foot of the cross and Jesus entrusted to her the entirety of the church. And so on this Mother's Day, I would like to take the opportunity to send a blessing upon all of our mothers. But as I said, that really truly should include all women who I guess have each reached a certain age where they are capable of making space in their lives for the life of another. And so, if all of the mothers would bow their heads to receive God's blessing. Loving God, as a mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so you watch over your church. Bless these women, that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen.